Live and local with Monica J on 92.3 FM and 99.1 FM Talk. This segment is brought to you by HireMeNevada.com.
Thanks for being here today on the Monica J Show, 92.3 and 99.1 FM Talk. I know we're taking a lot of time with the homeless issue, but it is something that needs to be addressed for all of the counties here in Northern Nevada. It's not just a downtown Reno issue, because we have seen it spread and people are tired of it. 884-9910. If you have a comment or something that you've dealt with, my guest right now is Bill Muck, who is a senior pastor at senior pastor at Trinity Baptist Church in Sparks, and you've actually created your own organization now.
I did. So the last time that we were out on the streets, it was 2019. I went out with another pastor, and the result of that was that he and I put together what's called Upreach Reno. And what it is an agency that is focused on those people that do want out, that do that find themselves in this situation that's not always their own choosing or their own fault. And so what we believe in, the very core, is a hand up and not a hand out. So we're willing to take people and help them. But in return, we're going to expect certain things from them, whether it be obviously maintaining sobriety and maintaining a clean, no drug usage. But sometimes if people need money for gas, we're happy to help out if they will do something. And sometimes it's cleaning or picking up trash or doing work. It's not just simply we're a bank and just right. Come and deposit and withdraw whenever you want.
But that's where it draws the ire of the community, because it's not working. There has to be law enforcement. We were talking off mic about Sparks. Sparks just doesn't allow it. They enforce the laws, and so the people who are vagrant come to Reno.
Right.
And the living along the river in the camps coming together, do you see how it is hard for people in the community to really believe that the city or the leaders are doing anything?
I do, because what they're doing isn't working. Sparks is such a great example, because they have basically, and I don't want to irritate my friends in Sparks, but basically they've outlawed homelessness. They've simply said, you cannot be homeless here. If you don't want to comply by the rules, if you don't want to seek treatment, if you don't want to do the things that society demands and expects, go somewhere else. And to a certain extent, I have to thoroughly support that opinion, because anything that we do for people is, we have to walk a constant tightrope. And when I say we, I mean the city and the representatives, the law enforcement. We have to walk a tightrope between demanding what society, demanding to follow the rules of society and enabling them. We want to help, but we don't want to enable. And there's a point that our charity becomes toxic to them, mm-hmm. that it simply gives them another opportunity. Over the course of the two times that I was out there, we found so many different places where you could get just tons and tons and tons of free meals. Mm-hmm. And the problem is, you see the same people in line every single night. Where's the incentive for them? And that's what Upreach Reno is all about, is yes, we can help you today, but our help is not going to be long term. We don't want to create entitlement or indebtedness. We want to get people out of that. And there are ways to do that with some people.
But, right, with some people. Because
right.
Here's the thing. Quality of Life Reno, Upreach,
that's right.
Oh, just Upreach. I was like, Upreach Nevada.
Well, it's Upreach Reno right now.
Upreach Reno, the Reno Gospel Mission.
Right.
These are all organizations that are doing basically the same thing.
Right.
And we still have this serious issue. We have water issues with the truckee, people just dumping their waste, needles everywhere. camps that are filled with trash.
Right.
I mean, you talk about, you know, doing something for this, for that. Even just cleaning up their own camps, their own mess.
Right.
We've got a call on the line, 884-9910, if you've got a question or something that you'd like to add. Tim McGivney, I'm assuming, is who this Tim is. Is that you, Tim?
Yes, ma'am. Hey, it's me.
Yeah. Okay. What did you want to add to the conversation?
Hello, Tim.
Hey, how's it going? I just wanted to say hi to the pastor. I actually was talking with Pastor Angelo, and yeah, he said there was another pastor. I've never met yet, but when he was explaining when he did that thing where he went out on the streets and was homeless, and yeah, he was telling me about it, being out there in the smoke and everything. So nice to meet you over the air. I'd love to meet you in person. The Lord's really put on my heart a lot of this stuff and the confusion that goes along with it when understanding homelessness. And I like your guys' theory of a hand up and not a hand out. One of the other dangerous issues I'd like to bring up, and I did in a talk to the Christian Men's Alliance the other day, bringing up the fact that is it God or government? And so that's something that we need to look at. And I'll read a little excerpt here that came back in an email talking about some of these socialist programs that want to take the place of the church. And so here it is here. It is the church's job to take care of the poor. They aren't supposed to be for big government taking over their job. When government shows charity, it enslaves the people in entitlements and destroys them. When the church shows charity, there will be a relationship, Christian love, and most importantly, accountability. The church will be able to share the gospel, which gives people eternal hope, and then the church can figure out those who are in need and those who are lazy. Those that are lazy are not supposed to be helped. If a man doesn't work, neither shall he eat. It is not loving our neighbor when we prop them up in wasting the life God has given them. Social justice is just socialism packaged for the ignorant church to use them to expand government to the point of controlling everything, which then impoverishes everybody. It isn't loving at all. It is disobedience to Christ.
I'm going to have you pause there for just a second since you said that, and I'm going to get back with producer Craig. Craig, would you play that first cut of what we have today? Okay, so he's going to bring us back a little something from Pickett Park, and we have to remember law enforcement is part of that government, and what the government does with law enforcement, how they tell them to react, respond, and it's unfortunate that we have a situation now where law enforcement and the different groups are clashing. So, Craig, do you have that?
But you know what? Okay, we went the other day with three of those.
What do you need us here for, Paul?
Joe Robinson, officially.
Oh, hello, Joe. Just a sign, citizen sites on everything here.
They're willing to sign citations?
Oh, everyone will go to it.
Okay, here's the deal.
What?
Boise V. Martin says we have to give these people the opportunity to leave, which we're going to do.
Okay.
If they do not leave, then we will cite them in the community court.
Okay, what's the time frame?
We're going to give them a reasonable amount of time to gather their things and go.
Today?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so like if tomorrow morning, if they'd all be there, what would be the option?
If they're all up here tomorrow, you want to come back down and we can do this whole process over again.
But then they could be cited, right?
No, they'll be given the opportunity to leave per Martin v. Boise.
Ah, Joe, we got two legal opinions.
I'm not going to argue with you, Paul.
Well, just tell me.
I'm not
arguing. I'm saying just tell me.
I'm going to tell you that's what we're going to do. That's the process that we're going to follow.
I can't sign a citizen's site on these guys.
Not per Martin v. Boise. They have the opportunity to leave. That's what we're going to do. That's the process we're going to go through.
So they can break the law every single day.
Anybody that stays, you could be more than happy to sign a citizen complaint on or a citizen's arrest on.
What's the amount of time you're giving them?
A reasonable amount
of
time.
Well, that's what I said. Come on, Joe. This wouldn't stand up in court for a second.
Okay. Well, then take it to court, Paul. You've already created a contentious relationship with yourself and
the
police department.
No, you called this. I tried to sit down with you. You refused to.
I'm not going to have a sit down. I'm not going to have a sit down conversation with you when you're calling for a no to vote confidence against Chief Soto. You've called me a liar in your hot sheet.
Did you?
We're
not,
done. We're done. We're done. We're done. I'm going to go through my process. My officers are going to go through the proper process. Anybody that's left, I will come approach you, and you can sign a citizen complaint for that. Other than that, we're done talking.
So you're not saying where anything is, what the time is, any of this, right?
The city has created a contentious relationship with the organizations that are trying to get action going. Tim, you were there for all this. Do you feel law enforcement is acting on behalf of the city or in the best interest of the citizens that pay their salaries?
I think they're confused. On that Boise versus Martin case, I think they're confused and trying to interpret the law when we have laws in place that prohibit certain things. And I think that's where accountability comes in and consequences to behavior that's not helpful or not healthy for anybody. It's not helpful for anybody, especially the ones living out there, and definitely need
well,
someone.
But you all, yeah, you you've go got ahead. The mayor. Well, you've got the mayor telling the city attorneys that, no, we don't want to hear the presentation on how we can actually enforce our laws with the interpretation of Boise v. Martin.
Right, right. And that's the thing. We want a statement. We want someone with some sort of clarity and a plan, whether it's right or wrong, them saying this is the way we see it. This is what we're going to do or not do, or this is what can be done, or you can call on this or can't call on illegal camping. What laws are they going to enforce and what aren't they because of how they're interpreting? And then from there, you can get some resolution. But right now, it just seems like chaos. We have some officers and landowners telling us that Hillary TV changed the policy and their hands are tied. We have some saying, no, we can't do anything about this unless they do this much crime or these crimes are enforced and these crimes aren't. There's a bunch of confusion. We need strong leadership to tell us what's going on, how are they interpreting it, and what can we do as a community to enact and enforce these existing laws. Because right now it's being just mass confusion. As far as it seems yeah. like each different person you talk to has a different take of what they think we're able to do or if we're able to get resolution to certain laws being broken or not. And that's where all we right. need some strong leadership to come out and make a statement. Let us know what they all what right. their beliefs are, what their plan is.
All right, Tim, I got to let you go. I'm going to wrap up our segment here with my guest, Bill Muck. We'll be back right after this on 92.3 and 99.1 FM Talk.
Got an Android? Get the app by typing in 99.1 FM Talk.
92.3 and 99.1 FM Talk. It's the Monica Jay Show. My very special guest, Bill Muck, who is the senior pastor at Trinity Baptist Church in Sparks. I threw out the phone line, 884-9910. Ryan's on the line. He's got a couple of questions for our guest. But Ryan, I have to let my guest go, and we've got other people on the line. So just one question, please. What do you have?
Someone, a pastor that has been actually homeless and know what it's like to be actual homeless, not vagrant. And then from what I heard in the tape between Paul and the cop, it sounded like Mr. White was trying to be nice to the laws, but it sounded like the police officer was just trying to escalate this whole time. It's like, well, Tim, we need to have like a uniform set of laws to actually enforce the rules, and they don't want to seem to do that. So how can we actually get
okay, Ryan, Ryan, Tim is actually off the line. My guest is Bill Muck. So I'm going to let you go. And, you know, that is the thing. I think it's bringing a real contention between law enforcement, the city, and the public.
Well, the problem, Monica, is that we have so many different agencies involved, and all of them are doing incredibly good work, and all of them are doing incredibly bad work.
But they're doing it separately.
Right. And we have so many. In fact, when we were out on the streets, we could have gone to probably any of a dozen different places and gotten food, because there's that many different churches down there that we're feeding. And I understand Reno's kind of cleaned that up now, but we have so many different people trying to do the exact same things, and so many cases, a portion of it's working, and a lot of it isn't. But rather than fixing the what isn't, we just keep doing more of it, thinking that the portion that is working is going to somehow magically start growing, and what isn't working is going to start working.
Is CHAB working?
I love the idea of what the Community Housing Alliance Board is all about. I think it had a great inception, and I have not been to several of the meetings for the last probably year. When it started out and when I was there, I was very encouraged by some of the things that they were doing, some of the initiatives they were considering. I don't know where they're at now, so I really can't answer currently if they're effective or not. But I will tell you that the people that are on that have a definite heart to solve this problem. What we're struggling with is how. Every different agency has different elements that are working for them. The ideal situation would be that somehow we could all come together from the business community, the law enforcement, the city, the county agencies, the 501c3s that are out there struggling, trying to help these people, and even homeless people, getting them all together to dialogue, to talk about here's what's working and here's what isn't. If we took the idea that Sparks did and simply say homelessness is not allowed in Reno, yes, that's going to help out, because it will get people out of this city. But unfortunately, you're going to hurt a lot of. There's going to be a lot of casualties in that. It's like taking a sledgehammer and swatting a fly. There's going to be a lot more collateral damage, and I don't know that that's going to be necessarily the right thing. But I think it's a conversation worth having. Mm-hmm. I think that these agencies coming together and saying, "Here's what's working for me." But we have to do it with the idea of putting away our pretenses, our predispositions, our own agendas. And I don't know that's ever going to happen, honestly. I mean, just I don't think that there's so many people that are so vested in the economics of homelessness that I don't know ever that we'll be able to totally eradicate the problem. But like I said, I think it's a conversation worth having of different multi-agency organizations coming together and just saying, what can we do? What's working and what's not working? Let's expand what works, and let's start cutting back on what isn't. We keep throwing the same cures at the same problem and expecting different results, and it's not
isn't
working.
Isn't that the definition of stupidity?
It is, and it's not working, but we okay. seem to be so locked into these mindsets that giving away homeless, giving away beds and feeding people is always going to help. And it depends on what your definition of help is, because at some point that help is going to hurt. Mm-hmm. Because it's not incentivizing these people to go out and become productive citizens. All we're doing is just creating a bigger problem.
Okay, I'm not taking his name in vain, but thank God you became a pastor. My guest today has been Bill Muck, with the senior pastor, actually, at Trinity
Baptist Church.
Trinity Baptist Church. And for people who want to talk with you or to engage with you, work with Upreach. How do they do it?
We have a Facebook page. UpreachReno.org is the website, but we also have a Facebook page. And we don't really maintain the website as much, but definitely get a hold of us on Facebook. You can look up Upreach Reno. Come by the offices. We're located right across the street from the Ramada Hotel on 6th and Wells. We would love to talk with other people, other agencies, other churches. I think if every pastor spent a week on the streets homeless, it would change this city, because it would become real to them. We would no longer be the ones that simply roll down the window and say, get a haircut and get a job, and then think that we've helped that person, because that isn't helping. That's condemning and that's criticizing. Like your caller a minute ago said, that's not what we're called to do. We're called to help. The government is not going to be the answer, and shouldn't be.
Yeah.
The problem is with us in the faith community and even outside the faith community. We can come together, and I think that it's going to take a lot of work, but we didn't get into this problem overnight.
Yeah.
and it's not going to go away overnight. We have to take some time and work with people that we may hate everything that they stand for, but something that they're doing is working. And we have to learn to work with them and say, this is working for you. How can we help?
Yeah, because what's that other old saying? There, by the grace of God, go I.
That's right. That's right.
All right. Bill Muck, thank you so much for being my guest today. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Mike.
We're going to take a quick call right now. I know I'm supposed to be going to Fox News, but actually, let me go to Fox News. Let me stay on time. That's always my biggest problem. Here on the Monica Jay Show, let's get a Fox News update, and we will be back with Mark, who is trying to engage with the city, and we're going to tell you what happened. And guess what? If you try to engage, it might just be what happens to you as well. And if it does, I want to hear about it so everybody can know. It's 92.3 and 99.1 FM Talk.
Is FM Talk. There is.
It's the Monica Jay Show on 92.3 and 99.1 FM Talk. I'm so glad you're with me today. I know it's been a long morning talking about the homeless issue, but people have things to say and people aren't listening. So on 92.3 and 99.1 FM Talk, it's your time to talk and your place to talk at 884-9910. Let's go to the phone lines and check in with Mark this morning. Hi, Mark. Thanks for calling into this show. What are your thoughts on what's going on?
Well, first of all, I want to congratulate you on a great show this morning. Some really interesting and informative call-ins. And I kind of just thought that I could chime in with something that happened to me concerning the city council.
Please do.
This is a letter I wrote to Ms. Naomi Deer. She's the city council for Ward 2.
Is that your ward?
This is dated November. My ward, yes. This is dated November 4th. Dear Ms. Deer, and I say we, my wife and I wrote this. We are two residents of Reno concerned about the squatters in our city parks and along the Truckee River. What measures are being taken to address this problem? There are numerous people living in makeshift encampments creating unsafe and unsanitary, living conditions for themselves and the public. We understand the squatters are made up of homeless people, drug and alcohol addicts, criminal, mentally deranged, and those who are unwilling or unable to get and hold a job. In addition, there are those who refuse to live in a group setting because of the crime and battery that occurs in those shelters. Please advise us of the measures being taken and or proposed to solve the squatter problem. We're looking forward to hearing from you and from the Recreation and Parks Commission. Sincerely, myself and my wife, I copied the Recreation and Parks Commission on this letter, and I copied the mayor. And as I stated, this was written November 4th, and as of this day, almost 2 months later, I have not heard a single word.
Nothing. Not from
nothing,
the mayor's office.
Nothing. No. Not a standard.
See, that concerns
thanks for your
me.
Interest. Or, yeah.
Exactly.
Concern
that
me.
Concerns me. As to why you didn't even get a standard form letter sent back to you.
Right. I mean, I could have just had the courtesy to say, thank you for your interest. We're looking into it, blah, blah, blah. But zero, zilch, nothing. So it is very concerning. I think that myself personally, have always looked at national politics, and I'm becoming more aware that we have to start focusing on the city, county, state, but mainly city and county right now is in my mind. So I'm going to be tracking the city council as close as I can. You know, a lot of that stuff they do down there is not publicized.
No, it's not.
I wish people could go down. I went down one day just to see how it all operates, and it's really informative. And, of course, the average person doesn't have time. They're working or whatever. and they can't get in there to see it. I happen to be retired, so I can go. But there's a lot going on down there that we have no idea what it is all about. But I do want to say that I use the word squatters because I think as a blanket statement, they're squatters. Now, underneath that umbrella, mm-hmm. you have homeless or drug addicts or mental or people who won't work or whatever, but they're all squatters, and not all of them are homeless. And I think when we say homeless, it generates a certain kind of sympathy that may not be warranted in all cases.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. I think squatters probably is the best term because you're kind of landing on property that's not yours, and you're taking it over. So I think, Mark, that is the appropriate term to use. I'm going to start trying to watch myself and use that term. But do you have, just from what you've seen and what you've heard, do you have any thoughts on something that should be addressed immediately?
Well, what you can't make... And I didn't hear your whole show this morning, only bits and pieces of it. So I don't want to, I hope I'm not repeating something that's already been said. But, you know, when you go in, and you have to go in to, with the idea of helping them, I think, number one. And because they all come from different situations and they're in different circumstances, they have to be dealt with on a case-by-case basis. And so the city government or the county, whatever it is that's involved, they have to recognize that right off. And set up a system that is unique for those individuals and try and give the help. And I'm not excusing or even giving them a pass to squat. I'm not. I'm just saying when we go in there, you got to do it with the idea we can help them, get through this. At least I like to think we can. There's all kinds of social services and monies and all this and that. And, you know, of course, if the will is not there, it's not going to happen. But I think that's the way it should be approached.
Yeah. You know, Google and Facebook can track us, our likes, our dislikes, what we're talking about. Yet for some reason, the city can't keep track of people who use services daily. There should be an information bank of everybody who's squatting out on the streets. So law enforcement can just punch in a name. A helper can punch in a name and find out if these people are truly being helped. Because you're right. It is a one-on-one situation. And we're just not providing services for that. We're more concerned about non-affordable housing.
Yeah, that's the spearhead. And I think, like you say quite often, follow the money. And that's what's involved in that whole initiative. I sincerely believe that.
Yeah. Mark, thank you so much for the call. More so, thank you for taking the time for you and your wife to write a letter to Naomi Dewar. But I'm truly sorry that she, her staff, the city, the mayor, her staff, and the Parks and Recreation Department, none of them got back to you. That's what's going on. That's how your elected representatives are treating you, how they are responding to your concerns. So my big concern is that you get out and you know what's going on in your community. If you're tired of seeing the pop-up squatter camps in the parks along the freeway system, you know, making sure that they're on the right side of the fence, because you'll notice that NDOT, well, they don't stand for it, and they enforce their laws that you cannot be camping under the overpasses, you can't be camping along the freeway in certain areas, and they enforce that. You don't see people along the freeway more than a night, but there's a fence line there. And once you move people They learn where they can and can't go. Just like the city of Sparks has taught people that they don't stand for it. They enforce the laws. Why is it okay for Sparks to enforce a law and not the city of Reno? Why? Ask yourself that. Why can a city that is basically the same size population, like Buffalo, New York, not have a homeless issue when New York City does? These are the questions you need to be asking your elected representatives. Saturday morning, it's only going to take a couple hours out of your time, but it is the biggest thing that you can do, and that is the precinct meeting for this upcoming election. Sometimes it's called a caucus, but since the president is an incumbent, you're not going to be listening from presidential candidates, so they're already pushing that vote through that we're going to support, Nevada is going to support President Trump. So it's the precinct meeting. You have to know your precinct to find out your precinct, because that's different from your district. It's different from your ward. You need to go on to washoecounty.us. washoecounty.us. You find the Registrar of Voters. You find the tab in the Registrar of Voters of your information. All you have to do is put in your last name and your birth date. And it tells you what precinct, actually it gives you lots of great information that you should just write down and keep in your wallet, because it is important. It's all right there. Find your precinct and then go to washoegop.com. washoegop.com. It's got a tab on there. Look up your precinct. It's just a big PDF that you go from 1,000 down into the 9,000s, and you just find your number. And then that tells you where you go for the meeting Saturday morning at 8 o'clock. Registrations at 8:30. I say get there a little bit early. Know your neighbors, because it's the different community areas. Mine, my precinct's 8205. I'm going to be at Galena High School. People from up in Incline, they need to come down, because that's Washoe County. They need to come down, and I believe that's Galena as well. But know it, because when you go there for that hour, hour and a half, you're going to be deciding who represents your voice. If you are a registered Republican, you are going to be nominating and voting people that go on to the Central Committee, that go to the conventions, that go representing your voice. Know the people who believe in what this city and county and state can be. Not government controlled. Not run by the left. But if you don't participate Saturday just for this couple of hours, then stop complaining and just buckle up for the ride. Because there are people out there who are now taking this very seriously. Ask those people as well the hard questions. What do you support? And then you have to follow to the next election. I know it seems like a lot, but if somebody tells you that they are going to make a difference, that they are working on this, if in the last 2 years, if in the last 4 years, if in the last 6 years, they didn't get squat done, then get them out of office and get somebody else in there who has what it takes to get things done. You don't want somebody meek and, you know, unwilling to stand up for what's right, and they just sit there and vote. They don't ask questions. They don't go with its constituency. They get shouted down by activists. They get paid for by developers or campaign funds from big groups that have no interest in supporting what you want your community to be. Registration this Saturday morning, precinct meeting, 8:30. Meeting starts at 9. Hopefully you'll be out of there by 10, 10:30. But you got to do it. It's just that important. Again, register our voters. Look it up. Just type in your name and your birthday. It gives you the information, and then go to WashoeGOP.com. We'll be back after this with a few text messages. My phone is just going crazy on 92.3 and 99.1 FM Talk.
Got an iPhone? Get our app by typing in 99.1 FM Talk.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. KKFT, it's 99.1 FM Talk, 92.3 FM as well, KSVL. Gosh, what a day it's been. 2 hours talking about the homeless situation here in, well, not even really Northern Nevada, just Reno, because we're not enforcing laws. That's the difference. That's the difference between being a Buffalo, New York, or a San Francisco, California. That's the difference between being a Sparks, Nevada, or a Reno, Nevada, enforcing the laws. And we are putting law enforcement in a frustrating, contentious position. When they should be out patrolling, being able to be officers and helping the many, not just moving around squatters. But the problem is just getting worse because of the fact we're not enforcing laws. When you let somebody take advantage of something for so long, well, it just becomes second nature. Know your politicians and know what's going on in your backyard. And that means getting involved. But to do that, I know, you have to have time. So just every once in a while, check out the different websites and get the information that you need to be prepared and know what's going on in the community, because as Mark had mentioned in the last phone call, you're not getting it through the media. You're not getting it from a paper or another radio station or even the television stations, the so-called news of what's going on, because, well, they just do the stories when something comes up. There's no follow-through. We've got a lot of things to follow through on. We've got parking and rental issues up in Incline. We've got sewer systems in Lyon County. We have planners. We have developers in every single county that is, you know, trying to fix this housing shortage. But when you have homes for refugees and illegals, is it really a housing shortage? Or is it just the resources that we have are not being used to the best? Ask the hard questions of your elected representatives. Ask everywhere. That's when you finally get that one-on-one. You know, go to the Lincoln Day dinners. That's when congressmen and senators, state senators and assembly people, it's these functions that they're showing up at. Even the Nevada Patriot meetings. Lisa Krasner was at the Nevada Patriot meeting last Thursday. talk to them. There's even a commissioner that doesn't have her personal contact online. You should wonder why. When all the others have phone numbers for office or cell or emails, and then there are a few that don't have that access for you, what does that tell you? They don't really want your opinion, and they don't really want to talk to you. That's the thing that most elected representatives forget. Yes, your political party makes a difference. But when you vote, when you change something, when you start new regulations, which, by the way, are the reason for the problems that we are having, is that the shelters, the people trying to help, are so over-regulated by people doing what's best for people. Are they really? Your elected representatives need to understand they vote for all of us, not just a select few. And they're supposed to be voting to make Nevada better. Let's make it better tomorrow, 10 to noon, Monica Jay Show.